Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Come, Revelation 6:1-17 and 8:1-5. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that the people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in its hands. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him, and they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand?" And then in chapter 8, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose up before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The invitation, you heard it come over and over. It's to come and see and hear. Things are not as they seem. There are seven seals and four horsemen, and I'm not going to go through to try to identify them. One of the hermeneutical structures that is used is people try to align these to different periods in history. I would say they identify with every period of history. First horseman, its power of evil, comes like an angel of light, bearing some kind of false crown. Second one generates war and strife. Third horseman brings injustice, leading to hunger and famine. The fourth one brings death. These are all expressions that we see in every age, and it doesn't matter what empire we're under. The seals can continue. There's this expression of those who have been slain for the word of God and the witness that they bore under the altar. There's priestly sacrifice that is acknowledged here. Creation itself, it's kind of an echo of Romans 8, groans for the redemption of human beings. It's a picture of the passive wrath of God when he takes his hands off of things and says, "Okay, you want it this way? See how this turns out." And then finally it ends in chapter 8 with the seventh seal, and there's silence in heaven. It's been a light show up to this point. And all of a sudden we hear this word, "The prayers of the saints are like incense before God." This is the part I want us to take from this. Jesus is king. We live in a world that's broken, that has all of these signs that are seen in the breaking of seals and in the work of horsemen. We are the people who have a world moving against us and a kingdom moving against us because we are the people of the Lamb. And it's been going on throughout history. Daryl Johnson, in his commentary, Discipleship on the Edge, an expository journey through the book of Revelation, writes, "History is moved by many forces, but one of the greatest forces is prayer. It's just that in praying for Jesus Christ, the reigning Lamb, to fully establish his kingdom on earth, things start to happen. The kingdom begins to break in, changing things, upsetting the status quo, unmasking idols, flushing out evil, and meeting resistance." Now hear this phrase, "and the followers of the Lamb get caught in the crunch." This is the picture that is being seen here. We don't get to get transported out of the evil. We get to be God's cruciform, reigning and ruling people in the midst of it. And sometimes we get caught in the crunch. The so what would be, don't be surprised when the crunch comes your way. The Apostle Paul says in writing to the church, "Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." Kind of reminds me of what John said when he was beginning this letter. He writes to those of us who are partners in fellowship of the tribulation and the kingdom of God and the patient endurance that is ours in Jesus. My now what is to be subversive. Be subversive to the false empires. And where does that begin? It begins in prayer. When I pray and call others to pray, we are acknowledging a greater kingdom. We're acknowledging things that aren't so obvious to us, unseen realities that speak to the true meaning between about our present and even our future. And so it gives us trust there. Lord, today, we join the many saints who through the centuries have prayed for your intervention. Some of them were even martyred in the process of waiting for that intervention, a true testimony, a true witness to who you are. As the ones who have been called to be your kingdom ambassadors, we pray that you would empower us in our communication with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.